Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
People, look alive. It's showtime.
Now live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, it's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
So shut up and listen.
Doors open in 3, 2, 1. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Big week coming up, as we know, and we will have you dialed in all week long here on The Fan. We've got this show, the Bill Michaels show, the Wendy's Big Show, Bill Michaels Huddle coming up Thursday night, Lodge Kohler Kickoff coming up on Friday night. The pregame show will be on Sunday. I'll be there with Horvat. We'll have the post-game show. We'll have the post-post-game show. We're breaking this thing down from all angles. Two good ones. I mean, Kansas City, Tennessee is going to be a good one, too. And we'll talk to Michael Lombardi about that one as well here in a moment. But Packers Niners, obviously, is what we are caring about, as the Green Bay Packers are headed back to San Francisco, losing 37-8 the last time they were there on the 24th of November. They go back here this weekend with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line. As mentioned, on the line, radio.com sports NFL insider Michael Lombardi joining the program. You can hear him on the podcast, The GM Shuffle, which is available on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcast. All insider calls brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Michael Lombardi back on the show. Michael, appreciate it. How have you been?
Hey, Mike.
I'm great, too. Thank you. I appreciate it. No, it's all good. Life is good.
We're looking forward to this game against the Niners, although the Packers, you know, they played well against Seattle. There were a couple of holes that Russell Wilson was able to find in that defense. But the Packers got to even take it to another level if they're going to beat the Niners this coming Sunday night.
Yeah, I think there's a formula they've got to get through, and it starts with tiring the 49ers defensive line out. You've got to be able to slow down their pass rush, and I think what we saw in the Seattle game for Green Bay is when Green Bay got tired on defense, Seattle became really effective offensively. And early in the game, when they were fresh, it was good. Well, the reverse has got to happen this week. I mean, the Packers have to kind of speed up the game but slow it down so that the defensive front for the 49ers isn't fresh and they're able to stay ahead of the count but also protect the quarterback, because these four guys that they rush are hard to block one-on-one.
Yeah, this Packers offensive line, as we talk with Michael Lombardi here, is going to be in for a big-time challenge. Last week, they lost Brian Bulaga to a flu bug. He should be able to go again. Jared Valdir stepping in pretty nicely. David Bakhtiari getting a lot of the honors. Really, the only Packer on this team getting any of these All-Pro honors. They've got guys that have been mainstays for a few years. Elgton Jenkins, the rookie guard, starting most of the season. They gave up a handful of sacks last time they played the Niners. Is this offensive line for Green Bay good enough to stop what's coming at them on Sunday?
Well, I think the problem is going to be inside Jenkins and Billy Turner. Those two guys have to play the best football game of the season, because the two inside rushers for San Francisco, Armstead and Buckner, are really a problem. And they're long, they're athletic, they can move. And the way to get the quarterback sometimes isn't around the corner. Rodgers is great at stepping up and moving in the pocket, but when there's nowhere to move up into the pocket, that becomes a problem. And so they've got to keep this pocket firm. They've got to do a good job with their inside players, and this is the strength of the 49ers team.
Yeah, they had 14 pressures on Kirk Cousins this past Saturday with that defensive front that the Niners have. And the Packers just don't have enough weapons if they're forced into second and third and long. They got Devontae, but other than that, yeah, the Packers getting second and third and long, I don't like their chances against the Niners defense.
No, I don't either. And that's why, you know, Aaron, they've got to run the football and they've got to be able to stay ahead. They've got to find ways to to they can't do what Minnesota did, which is go out there and think they can run the ball, because Minnesota run, third and 10, can't make it, right? They've got to find a way to win first down. I think if the Packers win, we're going to look at this game and say, man, were they good on first down? They were dominant. They had a great first down game plan. That's the essence of this game.
Radio.com NFL insider Michael Lombardi joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Mentioned that the Packers did go out there and they got it handed to them after a bye week, got it handed to them 37-8 back in November. We don't know. I mean, you talk about teams that they've lost to a team before, they've lost to them twice. What's the next matchup going to be like? Do the Packers in any weird way have an edge because they did get walloped the last time? Can they learn from those mistakes? Who does the edge usually go to when the teams have already faced in the same environment before?
Well, I think the edge always goes to the we have no chance card, right? Look, they killed – you know, everybody says we have no chance. We're 7.5-point dogs. Nobody thinks we're any good. We have no respect. We've won 14 games this year. Nobody thinks we're worth a darn. We dominated Seattle. San Francisco struggled Seattle. We still don't get any respect. I think that's a powerful motivating tool.
George Kittle is a tough cover for anybody in the NFL. And he had the big game breaker against the Packers last time, like a 61-yard catch and run. And it just like he felt like he was running forever. Is there anything the Packers can do against him at all? I mean, you just don't neutralize a guy like that. I mean, there's been times when you've seen some of the numbers on him, and he's had two catches for 27 yards in games. But I just don't know if the Packers can neutralize, or at least tame him a little bit.
Well, I mean, if they double him, they can, certainly. But I think with Mike Pettine and his blitz package and the way that they've got to be able to stay balanced to handle the run. I mean, look, the 49ers are really good at running the football. When you looked up last Saturday afternoon, they were in second and three damn near almost every play. Kyle Shanahan really does a good job of understanding how to attack a defense and run the football. If the Packers, it starts with stopping Kittle, but it really starts with winning first down. You've got to force them into third down and make them have to convert a lot of third downs. If the Packers go out there, and let's just put the number at 14 third downs, if they force the 49ers into 14 third downs, they can win the game.
How hard is it going to be for Green Bay to stop their running game, the Niners? They got Raheem Mostert, who's getting a lot of the carries late in the season, and then all of a sudden on Sunday or Saturday, rather, they say, oh, you know what, we're going to go Tevin Coleman. Oh, and you've still got Matt Breida, by the way, as your third running back. Should the Packers, if they're going to try to take away something, should it be the running game or should it be their passing offense with George Kittle and Deebo Samuel and Emmanuel Sanders and these guys?
Well, you know, Kyle Shanahan's a really smart coach, so he just didn't decide that it was a Tevin Coleman game. The reason he played Tevin Coleman in that game was because he knew Mike Zimmer wanted to play base to his 11 or his 12 personnel. And by having Tevin Coleman in the game, he got himself a running back that could impact the passing game. So everything they do in San Francisco is based on how they can gain an advantage with the back they use. And I think we've missed that when we do the broadcast. I mean, Coleman played, his role was big because Zimmer wanted to play big. Now, if Pettine plays big, expect Coleman. If he plays small, expect the other backs. I think that's going to be the chess match that goes on with inside the game.
Now, if you're San Francisco, you blew out the Packers the first time handily, okay? I already see where Shanahan is saying, hey, don't be stupid and thinking that you know, we're just going to be able to roll at the helmet. Basically said roll at the helmet and win a football game. He's trying to make sure his guys aren't letting up against these guys just because his team beat the Packers the first time around so easily.
Yeah, and he's watched Aaron Rodgers become the old Aaron Rodgers that we knew from many years. I mean, some of those plays he made on third down against Seattle, you know, that was pretty impressive. And I think that was ultimately the difference in the game. I mean, you know, you're 9-for-14 on third down against Seattle. I mean, Pete Carroll punted, and certainly there's debate about why should he have punted, but he's got a 3rd and 10 and a 3rd and 9. He can't stop. What are the percentages of converting those? Usually around 22%. I take those odds. See, people criticize you for not going for it. Well, 4th and 11 is probably a 10% chance. You know, stopping somebody on 3rd and 10 or 9, you probably have a 22% chance. I like his odds. Rodgers was unbelievable. And if that Rodgers and that Packer passing game is there on Sunday, it's going to be a really close game.
Well, 4th and 11, I put this on Twitter. I said, am I glad that Seattle's punting here, because, and you say 10% chance, but You know, you put that ball into the hands of Russell against the Packers, man, I upped those to about like 50% or even more at that point.
But I think he played the right call. He gets him in a 3rd and 10. Now, he doesn't double Adams on the play, right? Rodgers makes a great throw to Adams. He should have, you know, that was a bet. To me, if you want to criticize what they did, criticize the calls on third down. Should have doubled Adams, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got Jimmy Graham. They can't get him on the ground before they've got a punt, right? So to me, he played perfectly. He had two really good plays on third down that Rodgers made and he didn't. If he goes for it on 4th and 11 and the Packers stay aggressive, which I think they would have done, they score and make it a 12-point game. Game's over. It's an onside kick game.
How do you feel about the other game this weekend, the Chiefs and the Titans? Because you got the passing attack of the Chiefs, passing attack, hopefully, of the Packers, running game strong with the Niners, running game very strong with Tennessee. They've already knocked off New England, knocked off Baltimore. Does it end for them this weekend, or can they go into Kansas City and make it a trifecta?
Well, I think, you know, look, I think, and I say this on my podcast, I think Henry's been sensational. But I think, really, when you break down the games, why has Tennessee won? Their short yardage and goal line defense has been nothing less than spectacular. Let's go up to New England. New England's got the ball 1st and goal with the 1. They can't get in, settle for a field goal. Baltimore, 10 for 10 going into the season, going into the playoffs, converting 4th downs, right? 10 for 10. 4th and inches at midfield, can't get it. Next play, touchdown. 4th and less than inches at their own 16, can't get it. 3 plays later, break a tackle, 70-yard run. Those 2 short yardage plays were the difference. And the other factor is they've been dead on in the red zone. They're 3 for 3 in the red zone. Both 2 of them are on 3rd down. The Ravens have no one to blame but themselves. They couldn't stop them on 3rd down, and they couldn't convert 4th down.
It's good insight. Michael Lombardi, Radio.com, NFL Insider. Always appreciate it, Michael. We'll talk soon.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Michael Lombardi joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance here in 2020, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Again, radio.com sports NFL insider Michael Lombardi joining us. All insider calls brought to you by that new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Listen to Michael Lombardi on his podcast, The GM Shuffle, which is available wherever you get your podcast, including the radio.com app.
I think your boy Freems is in a boat by himself when he said he was glad that the Seahawks punted on that 4th and 11 late in the game, giving the ball back to Aaron Rodgers and company. Man, I don't think, and Mike says that the Packers would have stayed aggressive had they turned them over there and maybe punched it in. I don't know. I would take my chances on Russell converting a 4th and 11. And if you don't, I think the Packers play conservative and maybe get a field goal on that one. It's still a 1-score game.
All right. When Seattle lined up to punt, your thought was, thank God.
Oh, I was like, they brought the punt unit on. When they start running on the field, like, oh, it was a huge sigh of relief.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Oh, you
don't
you
punt. Team, why is Clemson punting last night? They're down 17. It's the fourth quarter. Why are you punting?
No, I mean, 4th and long.
You're not going to get the – just, I know it's 4th and long. I know you're in your own end zone. But if you punt it away, that's at least 2 minutes off the clock. That you give the ball back to the other team. I just –
ball back to Aaron Rodgers. If that was the Packers
– I'm just tired of teams punting.
If that was the Packers –
in the fourth quarter.
If that was the Packers on 4th and 11 punting right there – the whole show yesterday would have been, why is he punting?
I'd say LaFleur should be canned.
God, why are you punting? Man, be aggressive, especially Pete Carroll thinking that way. I was stunned.
So if it's okay to go on 4th and 3, is it okay to go on 4th and 6? And then why is it not okay to go on 4th and 9? And then why wouldn't it be okay to go on 4th and 11? Teams are punting way too much. Look, I get on the air and I say, oh, you could coach a team to 9 wins. And then you watch the crap that went on this weekend. You watch Bill O'Brien kicking field goals and then fake punting.
Dumb.
You watch Pete Carroll punt the game away. What are these guys doing? Bill I thought O'Brien, they were football geniuses.
Bill O'Brien's up 21-0. He's got a 4th. I thought he got a bad spot there, but a 4th and less than 1. How are you taking against that dynamic offense how are you taking the field goal there? I didn't understand that. Show some faith in your team, and 24 points, go up 28-0.
Everyone coaching not to lose.
Oh, my goodness.
You got to coach to win.
But then he gets aggressive, and he does the stupidest move ever, and he fakes a punt at his own 30-yard line. That was dumb.
Just ridiculous.
When the ball was already rolling against you, and you fake a punt there, and you give that stadium even more momentum.
It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Again, your cash keyword this hour is fire, F-I-R-E, as in we are going to fire Ryan Horvath if he says A.J. Hinch one more time in the updates.
I don't know why the hell I did that. Hinch.
You know what it
watching
is?
Watching the Astros for 3 years. I don't know why I keep doing that.
A.J. Hinch.
You know what it is? Did I say Astros? I'm really tired this morning. I was worried that I said something else. No, I was worried that I said something else.
Did you see the nickname, the Houston Asterix?
Yeah. And, of course, I've seen the meme where Bill Belichick has announced that he's hired both guys to his staff.
Hilarious.
But the thing with Hinch, Horvath, that's just like a mental block, isn't it? You get into a mental block and you can't get it out of your head.
I feel like I'm 5 for 7 today on it. I don't know. I got Bill Lazor. It spells it L-A-Z-O-R. We got things thrown at me, phone calls coming through. I probably should have went to bed in like the third quarter. That game was over, but I really needed the Clemson team total over 31, which I didn't get. But late night.
Hey, all those parlays you were talking about last week, you're throwing off Horvey or Bart and I. Did those things ever come in for you?
Yeah, did you have a good weekend?
The teasers?
Yeah, you threw like about 7 or 8 different things here.
You know, most of them were all right, but I had the Ravens as a pick 'em in a couple of them. So. Yeah.
I remember you saying
they
that.
They were 10-point favorites. Yeah. They didn't win the game. So, no, I had the Packers. I went 3 for 1 overall on total picks, and I lost the under, and then I lost I had the Ravens winning the game, but not covering the spread.
Boy, the Seahawks just convert that 2-point conversion. Whoever has the pack, you're up 28-10, and you're probably losing that game. Because if you have 4, 4.5, you're losing it. If the Seahawks get that 2-point conversion, they close it within 3. All right, Eagle Disposal, new sponsor here on the show. Glad to have the boys from Eagle Disposal on with us. And you know what? They're a terrifically family-owned company. You know, if you got work you need to be done at your home or office, you got remodeling work that you're doing there. Well, and if you're a contractor, whether you're a contractor, you're a home remodeler, or going it alone, Eagle Disposal can help you out. They're local, family-owned. They've been a disposal business since 1978, man. They've been handling trash and waste disposal needs all over this great state of ours with courteous same-day service, letting you get on with your project, man. They are going to make it right for you. They're going to help you out. They're going to give you a great price, too. They're local. You'll find real people answering their phones, their prices, all-inclusive. So you're not going to get any surprises. No Eagle. You know, some of these companies, when you hire them out to help you do some stuff, they have some hidden surprises that you don't know about, and all of a sudden it appears in the bill. Yeah, you get none of that with the guys from Eagle Disposal. But around these guys, Tim and Bill, good, honest guys, and they're going to make it right for you. All-inclusive, no hidden surprises. The latest state-of-the-art front load and roll-off trucks to handle small and large loads. If your business relies on efficient and competitive-priced waste disposal, guys, the way to go is Eagle Disposal. They're worth checking out. Go to their website, EagleDisposalInc.com, for all your waste disposal needs. Or you can call Tim or Bill, the guys I'm telling you about. These guys, man, good, honest guys, friendly guys. They'll talk some sports to you. And they're going to help you out and give you a competitive price. 262-895-4800. That's 262-895-4800. When you need to get rid of that trash, whether it's remodeling work, your home office, or whatever it is, Eagle is...
I made 2 calls on Matt LaFleur last night to NFL sources. You know what they say about Matt LaFleur? People weren't sure he had the stature, the gravitas, and the alpha to lead a group of men as a coordinator, not a coach. The knock on Matt LaFleur is nobody's quite sure if he can stand in front of guys in an offensive meeting and own the room.
Matt LaFleur is not ready to be a head coach in the NFL, and therefore there are going to be issues with Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. They are going to have a massive eruption. It's going to be a disaster.
The schedule offers a few more landmines than I think anybody really wants to discuss. You look at their first 8 games in Green Bay, outside of the layups against Oakland and Detroit at home, could potentially lose those other 6 games. So at these current prices, I would lay the short price that Green Bay misses the playoffs.
The Green Bay Packers have a real issue on defense, and that is in their front 7, they don't have that dictator no more. I know Clay Matthews was not a heavy run stopper, but he created havoc.
But I still think this Packers team hasn't proven that they're vastly improved on offense. I know their defense is markedly better, and they're good, but they're not as good as that Bears defense. They're not as good as that Minnesota defense. Last year, the Packers missed the postseason. That's where I'm going again.
Aaron Rodgers is aging. He ran a Super Bowl winning coach out of town. Good luck to Matt LaFleur.
Normally, I don't hate Colin Cowherd as much as the rest of you guys. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. This was a lot of audio from earlier in the season. Packers given very little chance to make the playoffs. Ray Lewis in there saying the defense doesn't have a leader. Clearly they do in Za'Darius Smith. I could have gone without this from Cowherd.
Good luck to Matt LaFleur.
That's just being stupid for no reason. 414-799-1250. There was a good article at Sports Illustrated. Kalen Kaher wrote it about Za'Darius Smith. And there's this game that they've started to implement on the planes. Mm-hmm. It's basically gambling. Za'Darius just goes around the plane on road trips, takes $20 from everybody, and then draws a winner, and they get the whole pot.
Oh, that's pretty basic.
But the Packers have never done anything like that before. So guys are going crazy for it. Rodgers will throw in a little bit more money. He's never won yet. There were some guys that quit doing it because they kept losing. But after the Detroit game, I think everybody got back into it because it was fun. I think Aaron Jones won a week. But just little dumb things like that where instead of, 50 guys sitting on a plane, they have something to do together. The party's at his house. He took them bowling right away. Za'Darius Smith, certainly a leader. And when you look at all the things that have happened in the last year, just the little things like Tyler Ervin coming in here and changing the punt game. The big things like Matt LaFleur being the new head coach. Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Adrian Amos, Billy Turner. That free agency period, specifically with the Smith brothers, specifically with Za'Darius, cannot go understated.
No, he's hit on all those guys. And I felt like all those things happened within a span of a couple of days or even a couple of hours. I think we're in here when some of that stuff was happening. And it was underwhelming at the time, but the Packers may have had the best free agent offseason out of anybody last year. Guys who came in and helped them out right away.
We were pumped they were just making moves.
Yeah, well, I lost
a bet. We didn't realize how good of moves they were.
I think I lost a bet because I think we set the over and under at 3.5 on free agency, and I took the under. I think you cleaned up on that same day.
I actually think that was 2 years ago.
Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah.
That was last offseason. No. Thought we did it last offseason.
No.
Oh, who were the...
Because I ended up winning the bet when they signed Jimmy Graham.
Oh, that's right. Okay. That's right. Okay, so 2 years ago.
And we haven't bet a while on anything.
No, well, you said you stopped.
Well, I'm sure there's something I could bet on.
You know, during the NFL season, you and I were betting all the time. NBA season. I feel like the last time we bet on a game was the NBA Finals. I think that was the last time.
You owe me money.
No, but we used to bet every week.
Yeah, but you owe me money right now.
I owe you $50.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm waiting for us to bet again.
Well, pick a game tonight, and I'll take whatever you don't like. 414-799-1250. Packers Niners this weekend, obviously. We'll talk to Mike Clemens in the 9 o'clock hour. Louie's on the south side. What's happening, Lou?
Good morning, boys.
Morning.
I give them about a 40% chance. There's just something about the way San Francisco is built and the last iteration of San Francisco, the way that they were built, that makes me nervous because they can defend a team that had, Cobb, Nelson, all the guys in base. Because their inside linebackers can cover. They get Quan Alexander back. They get Dee Ford back. You add a pass rusher and a run stopper to already a good group of defenders. But Green Bay is going to have to play their best game, and Aaron Rodgers is going to have to be special. And I'm in the wait and see. He's great. He can undo a lot of wrongs this weekend. Probably the biggest knock I have on him in his entire career is this stage, not the Super Bowl stage. He played great in the Super Bowl, not the divisional round. He's always played great in the divisional round. The NFC Championship game has not been kind to Aaron Rodgers statistically, and they've lost some games they should have won because of that. I think his career passer rating in the NFC Championship game in three games is 70, 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. They're going to have to run the football because it's really going to be pretty simple what San Francisco tries to do to slow them down. They put Sherman on Adams, and if Sherman can't hold up due to age, they shade some coverage. The inside linebackers, Werner, Kwan, and those guys, they'll take a back and a tight end. If they can't hang with Jimmy Graham, they bring a safety up. And then beat us, Aaron. That's really what it's going to be. And I don't know that he could do that. And I get really tired of when the shoe's on the other foot, us doing 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon for another team. Yeah, of course, Seattle and the Rams and Arizona is going to play San Francisco tough. It's no different than Detroit, Minnesota, and Chicago playing us tough. They're division opponents, and they're always dogfights. And the Atlanta thing, I mean, if you dig deeper, Atlanta was the hottest team in the second half of the year. They started 1-7, ended 6-2, beat Carolina twice, beat Saints, beat 49ers.
Well, the Packers are on a six-game winning streak, too. They haven't lost since that Niner game.
Yeah, they have, and they're a good team. I'm not saying they have no chance, but I think I just haven't seen them put it all together, I guess, maybe. And maybe this is the game they do, because I think they're going to need it in order to win. I think Aaron Jones is going to have to be right around 100 yards. Rodgers is going to have to be around 300 yards. Their defense is probably going to have to get a turnover, too. I don't know, and maybe you guys can tell me. I don't know where they have an advantage other than corner. I really don't. I don't think, you know, yeah, Devontae's better than anything that San Fran has at receiver, but I'll take Deebo Samuel, Emmanuel Sanders, and Kendrick Bourne over the entire crop of just having Devontae Adams. And I'll take their three running backs over Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones is dynamic, but those three combined outproduced him. So it's just really weird. And then the quarterback, I mean, we want to rag on Jimmy, and maybe that's how they win this stage. First time Jimmy's been on it.
All right, thanks.
We lost him.
Thanks for the call. You know, he makes a point there. You look at the edges. Where
thanks,
the
Lou.
Packers don't have a hell of a lot of edges. Maybe a kicker. Although, you know,
I know Robbie Gould's pretty good.
Robbie Gould's pretty good. He was hurt, you know, earlier in the year. But a lot of their guys, you know, some of the guys who were hurt early in the season, mid-season, have come back to health for the Niners, and they appear to be fine and not going through any sicknesses and all that. But on the same, you know, we were saying about Aaron Rodgers playing well. Jimmy Garoppolo didn't play a great game against the Vikings. The Vikings missed a couple of opportunities to pick him off last Saturday and didn't answer the bell.
Well, let's go back to November 24th, where the Packers did lose to San Francisco. Remember, that was a game that got away from Green Bay early. Jimmy Garoppolo in that one, 253 yards and two touchdowns, only had to throw the ball 20 times. Kyle Shanahan at his press conference, Niners coach, says, don't even look at that. That doesn't matter. He says, quote, the game before never matters. There's four teams left. It's four very, very good teams. It's going to be a hard game for all of us. For people who think the first game does matter, he says, don't be that stupid. That's not real. We all know it will be different. We know that game got away from them early. That is not the team we're going to see this week. Everyone knows how good Green Bay is, how good the coaching staff is, how good their players are, how good their quarterback is.
I think what he's trying to guide against, and he doesn't want his team to go in and thinking, hey, you know what, we beat these guys so handily the first time, it's going to be easy the second time around. I think he's just saying, hey, you know what, we're playing a tough team here.
Well, and I agree with him, though. I don't think he's just doing that as, you know, sparking up some rah-rah or trying to keep his guys at bay. I agree with him. And that's what I've come into encounter a lot over the last month, because I've had the thought that if the Packers do play the Vikings, I think the Vikings would have beat us in these playoffs. And the counter to that is, well, the Packers already beat them twice. One was in September. One was without Dalvin Cook. And now I'm thinking that the Packers have a chance against the Niners. Well, the Niners beat the Packers by 29 points. They did do that 2 months ago. You know how much has changed in 2 months? You know how few chances these football players get to play games? This is going to be the Packers' only their 18th game of the season. I mean, think of 18 games for the Brewers season. Oh, we can't determine anything. It's just 18 games. Packers only got, this is only their 18th time trying to trot out what they're trying to trot out. And one time they went to San Fran and it was ugly and they lost. But the game did turn on the Niners, on the Packers quickly. They had a turnover right away and it got out of hand. And these games, if you let it get out of hand, it just gets out of hand.
It just like some of the Super Bowls have gotten out of hand. I mean, Dallas beating Buffalo handily in some of the Super Bowls. You know, Dallas isn't 42 points better than Buffalo in some of those Super Bowls. It just sometimes these teams steamroll and that's what happened. The Niners won 37-8. Okay. They're not the Niners aren't 29 points better than the Packers. It got out of, you know, that fumble, you know, they didn't execute, and it just one of those games where, you know, you just get your butts kicked. Happens in all sports. Happens in college basketball. It happens in pro basketball. Sometimes it just snowballs, and it's just not your day. It was not the Packers' day in San Francisco, and the Niners played a good game. Now, if the Packers go out there and lose again handily, then there's a big question mark. But I don't expect them to go out there. I expect them to be competitive, and it'd be a close game. Now, do I think they're going to win? Probably not. But it's going to be a competitive game Sunday. Don't base anything on that first meeting.
I just think we do that too often, where we use past results to predict future success. And sometimes there's a case for that, but this is not the Harlem Globetrotters against the Washington Generals. You know, there's not a huge sample size where the Brewers were beating up on the Pirates forever. The Lions could never win in Wisconsin. This was one game.
This is the
two
NFC,
months ago.
This is the NFC Championship. There's a lot of pressure on this game. I mean, the winner goes to the Super Bowl, and certain guys rise up at championship games. Some guys don't. You have a lot of factors that go into a championship game. This is not some regular season game where these guys are meeting in a rematch later in the season if they're playing in the same division. But this is the championship, man. So there's a lot of things that go into this game. There's a lot of hype. There's a lot of nervousness. When you're 60 minutes away from going to the Super Bowl, which you play your whole entire career for, there's a lot of factors that go into this game. So, yeah, very easily. We've seen Super Bowls where teams have been heavy favorites. The Packers have been in the Super Bowl, have been heavy favorites. We all thought the Packers were going to destroy Denver. That never happened. You get to the championship round, anything could happen.
799-1250, 414-799-1250. Let's go over to Brookfield. Talk to Chris. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. I think it's a 50-50 opportunity. It's going to be mano a mano on both sides of the ball on the line of scrimmage, and I think whoever wins it in the trenches is going to be it. This is two offenses that are trying to start their offense on the running game and work the pass after that. I think that it's going to be, can our defensive line stop their run game, and can their defensive line stop the run game? I think they got to rely more on Jamal Williams and not just Aaron Jones. They got to mix that up more. I mean, it's like since Jones got hurt against Detroit, you only seen him for a series or two when they brought Irvin in. Though Irvin got positive yards, but I think Jamal has to be in that game. He's more physical. He's got to help, you know, make the San Francisco defensive line pay for his running style. And I think Aaron's just got to be Aaron. He's got to take what's in front of him, not to try to do too much. And work LaFleur's offense. As far as the last game, you guys are right. Throw that out the window. It don't matter. They're both going to scheme. It all depends also on LaFleur can make second half adjustments this game, because when we played Seattle, we scored 21 points, but all we scored was 7 in the second half. There was like, come on, what? You got to make adjustments and adjust to how Seattle's playing the defense, and we didn't do that. And we got to do that. If we don't, I think then we're going to lose. It's going to be who can make the best adjustments and who wins in the trenches.
Yeah. The Packers were 0 for 14 on third down.
It's all about that A-gap.
Yeah, in the B-gap and the C-gap.
Oh, the D-gap.
And converting.
Is there a D-gap?
There's I think it's ABC.
You know what? I'm so much smarter at football, I see the D-gap.
There's the G-spot.
There's the G-spot.
Yeah.
Now that I don't see. I don't know where that is. Never found it.
Okay.
Lim O'Brien.
You'll know when you find it.
My God.
0 for 14, the Packers
were. Well, we're just two guys talking sports.
The Packers were 0 for 14.
And now people want G-spot jokes?
AJ Hinch knows where the G-spot is.
AJ.
0 for 14, the Packers were.
G-spot.
On third down conversion
G-spot.
Against San Francisco.
G-spot.
Why am I even talking? Go ahead.
I don't know. Yeah. You're trying to read stats. I don't like when you analyze the game. I'm going to throw it right back at you.
I shouldn't have thrown the G-spot name out there.
You don't like when I analyze sports. I don't like when you do it.
My wife actually just texted, can you guys say that?
Say what?
G-spot?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we can't find it, but we can say it.
Yeah. Hey, no. I don't know if we can say it.
We can say it.
But we can certainly...
Just don't ask us where it
sing
is.
Sing it.
Set the edge.
G-spot.
Set the edge.
4-5. Let's get out to Lim O'Brien. Lim O'Brien called yesterday in the 9 o'clock hour. Hey, Brian, people did not like your call yesterday. I want to tell you that.
Well, I'm back on the morning show train riding it all the way to the Super Bowl.
People were killing you.
Yeah, you were the most negative.
Because you called up and you were complaining about Blake Martinez.
I'm not calling it A, but, you know, everybody has a fraud on their team somewhere. But my question is, I think, you know, I have a new question for you after I tell you my opinion on the game. I think the key matchup in this game that nobody's talking about is Clark against the 49ers' second-string center. If he can play behind, on the other side of the line and force disruption in the middle, it's going to make that Packer defense so much better. If they're pushing Clark around and they're letting that running game take a hold, I think the Packers are going to get slaughtered. But I think Clark is playing probably his best ball right now than he's been since he's been a Packer. And I think if he can just hold his own and control that middle and force things back into Garoppolo's face, I think that's going to make everybody on the line back. I think the Packers' secondary can hold their own. And if they can stop and control that run a little bit, they'll be able to control Kittle. But once that running game is going, it seems that Kittle runs wild. So that's my key. And then I have one question. Maybe you could find out and have this as a question later in the week. It seems like when the Packers go west, they flounder. They lost the Super Bowl in San Diego. Obviously, this year they got killed by the 49ers.
That was 25 years ago.
Right. I'm just saying, but they seem when they go west, they just seem to play slow and they seem to be out of whack. When they go east, they're a different team. Wonder if you could find out in the last 5 years what the record is versus traveling west on the road versus east. I would bet it'd be at least 2-3-1 better record going east.
You know what? I'm going to say this. Last time the Packers went to San Francisco, didn't they go out there on Friday because they tried to get a jump? They tried to go early? I think they should have stayed in San Francisco since November to prepare for this game.
And just play the rest of the season with second stringers?
I think they should go to San Francisco tonight.
Yeah.
I think they should drive with Joe and Clemens.
Stay at the Tanner House.
Go to, stay. I saw it. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's not as cool as you think it would be. Full house.
It never really seemed cool, especially unless Jesse Katsopolis was there.
Who's this? Oh, the TV show?
Yeah. The TV show.
Uncle Jesse and the Rippers.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he now is with the Beach Boys.
So what are you going to say? Mm-hmm. You're going to tell us about how? What was this year?
I think the Packers should go out today.
Yeah.
To San Francisco to prepare.
Take a cross-country bus trip?
I actually think they should go to Hawaii to combat the time change.
Well, if they go to Hawaii.
Because then, Brian, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, Brian, because if they're better going east, let's go all the way to Hawaii today, because then they're going west. And then on Friday, they'll go back to California, which is going east. So that way, this is like an eastern game and not a western game. See, or instead of flying across country to the left, they should go like over Europe and over the Middle East and over Russia. And then to California to go east.
I bet if you found this out, if you take time, the Packers play much better going east.
That's why I think they should fly east instead of west.
Well, you know, one thing, if they went to Hawaii, you know, they're not going to have any flu. You're not going to catch the flu in Hawaii. Might catch something else, but you're not going to get the flu.
Yeah.
In Hawaii.
I'm off that idea because that has some traveling west. Just go east. Just go. Cross the Atlantic.
Oh, be in that plane for 24 hours?
Well, that's more bonding time, more games that Za'Darius Smith can play.
More card games.
Head east. What's the phrase?
That's a rock group back in the 70s.
Good band, yeah.
Yeah.
Head east?
Yeah.
What do they sing? Something I really like.
I don't remember.
I'm sure if you found it,
it's before my time. All of us. Even before my time.
No, they have a really good song.
Early 70s, I want to say.
Yeah, but they have a great song. Oh, yeah.
What is it?
I'll play it for you. Anyone want to talk about the G-Spot while I wait for a YouTube ad to play?
Probably still performing, Head East.
What do they sing?
Probably in a casino somewhere.
Oh, now I'm getting doubled up on YouTube ads. This has happened lately.
Oh, that's worse.
Or instead of just a five-second ad, there's two.
Never Been a Reason is Head East.
Never Been a Reason, that's their song.
Love Me Tonight.
Yeah, this is a great song.
This is definitely early 70s.
Lim O'Brien finally hung up. He was still on hold.
This is back when everybody had long hair.
Head east, Packers. Leave today and get to California by Thursday. Combat those travel woes. 414-799-1250.
Hold up
Update, brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. Visit paysbig.com. Here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers have the day off. They return to the practice field tomorrow. Back in November on Sunday night, the 24th, before Thanksgiving, the Green Bay Packers got carved up in prime time, 37-8 by the 49ers. After that beatdown, here's what Aaron Rodgers told reporters.
I still like our chances. I think we have the makeup to bounce back from these kind of things and put ourselves in a position to potentially come back here and play again.
The Packers won their next six games, and here they are taking on the 49ers at Levi's Stadium for the NFC Conference Championship. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Certainly, I don't think we played our best that day, and you know, you got to give them a lot of credit. That was probably a reason for that. That's a really talented football team, and we know that, but in order to compete with them, in order to have a chance to beat them, we're going to have to be at our best, and that's everybody, all 11 on that field, and it is a big challenge, but certainly one that, you know, I think our guys will prepare for and be ready to go.
What will be different this time? Packers safety Adrian Amos.
We just that many weeks better. As a team, we've seen where we messed up before. We've seen what doesn't work. And we're going to go over and we're going to find out how much better we got, how much better of a matchup, you know, it's going to be.
That's Adrian Amos in Green Bay. I'm Mike Clemens.
Best Packers coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. 9 o'clock hour, we'll hear from Mike Clemens. We're going to do a little segment we like to do called Five for Frames, where basically I just ask Chuck five questions. Again, I don't know if anyone likes this segment. I know, Chuck, you do, but I don't know why you like it so much, but I know you do.
Well, I get a lot of feedback on it from my fans out there, my great fans, when I run into them, like tonight at the Pfizer Forum.
Oh, you do?
When you see me walking. Oh, absolutely.
What do they say?
They say, well, Five for Frames, Chuck, you should host it and be answering your own questions.
If you want.
Yeah.
Feel
we don't
free.
Have, you don't want to, we don't have to do it.
No, it's a good way to kind of hit everything in the world of sports.
Yeah.
You know, in a quick little few minutes, talk some Packers in there, get your opinions on stuff. Yeah, I think it's a nice little segment, okay. but I've not heard one person ever give feedback on it, good or bad.
Well, I've heard people come up to me and it's Five for Frames. I mean, instead of just say, Mr. Freeman, how you doing? It's Five for Frames. I've heard people say that, or Blue Chew.
I say that.
What's that?
I call you
Five
for
Frames. No, but people have done that, though, like walking around.
I don't buy that.
What? What? What are you talking about?
I've gotten feedback. We get feedback on so much. Brett just tweets in.
Well, that means your segment isn't over then.
Brett just tweets in saying the phrase is go west, young man, because I was trying to think of the phrase. I said go east, young man. It's go west, young man. Brett gave me feedback on that. Corey gives us feedback. We just played a song by Head East, and he says this doesn't have anything to do with anything, but there's a River West 24 bike race, and the guy does RW24 tattoos for 24 hours straight and only plays that one Head East song on repeat. So never been any reasons on repeat at this race for 24 hours.
Oh, God.
So we're getting feedback on all this stuff.
10 minutes.
I've not ever had one person tell me anything about Five for Frames, good or bad. But if people around town are looking at you and calling you Five for Frames at the gas station, well, then I guess that's good.
Okay. Follow me around for a day. Follow me around Milwaukee for a day. Just follow me around Milwaukee for a day. And you get all sorts of people coming up to you and talking to you or taking pictures to you or videotaping you as you're walking through. What's this mall over here? It was not Mayfair. It was Brookfield Square I was at. Yeah, a couple of weeks ago. I told you about that.
I went to Northridge the other day. No one recognized me.
Okay.
Didn't that mall close?
They got pictures of it on the internet, though.
Well, then
they're trying to do something with it. I'm just not sure what they want to do with it.
Here's a poll. You're going to the Bucks game tonight?
Yeah.
Do you think, if Chuck walked around for 2 hours tonight downtown, would he get recognized more at the Bucks game or the Trump rally?
Probably both. I don't know what that means.
I don't either. I'm just wondering.
I don't know. But the Bucks game, that's our audience right there. I mean, people who are at the Pfizer Forum or Miller Park or Lambeau, I mean, those are our people. Those are our people who listen to the show. Maybe at the Trump, too.
Either way, it's going to be a disaster downtown tonight.
It is. I'm thinking of taking an Uber to the game tonight because of the parking.
That'd be a good move.
Yeah. I just hope that
you're not just going to have the parking. You're going to have the security.
Yeah.
I may be in bed by 6 p.m. I may come in and watch the condensed version of the Bucks tomorrow. I'm so tired. I'm planning on being in bed early tonight, watching that game. I'm excited for Thursday night's game, Bucks.
Yeah, they play the Knicks tonight.
You know, the Knicks are so bad. They have 14 power forwards on the team. Like, what were they thinking when they went out and signed 11 power forwards? Every guy on that team is the same. They are one of the worst teams ever. But, I mean, I'll end up watching it, but I should go to bed.
No, I'd like to make an announcement. I am not watching the Bucks game tonight.
Okay.
I am not going to watch it. There's no need to.
Boy, why would we even have a show tomorrow if you're not going to be able to watch the Bucks game? God forbid. You're not going to. Seriously, stop the presses.
I am not going to watch the Bucks game tonight.
God.
I am going to go to bed early after I watch the Jeopardy.
Boy, now that you guys told me your nightly plans here. You're not watching the Bucks game. You're watching Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
Horvy's going to bed at 6 o'clock.
I'll be up watching that Bucks game, but I'm not going to the game. I'm not going downtown.
Have you guys got into the Jeopardy tournament at all, the greatest of all time?
I don't get into Jeopardy, period.
Same.
Jeopardy is drawing massive ratings.
From boomers.
So Jeopardy is not only the 1849 demographic, my friend. These Jeopardy tournaments that are happening... This could be the last night if Ken Jennings wins again. Spoiler alert. But they're either going to – it can go up to 7 episodes. This could be the last night tonight. The Jeopardy Greatest of All Time tournament has outrated the first 4 games of the 2019 NBA Finals, the first 5 games of the 2019 World Series, all but one of the Monday Night Football broadcast on ESPN, and it's outrated 7 of the 11 Thursday Night Football showcases on Fox. An average of 14.95 million viewers tuning in every night.
Not surprising. It's got a lot of hype. I'm just not into it. Just not into it. But I know there are people who are watching it.
Massive ratings.
Yeah.
So if you could go on one game show, we put that topic out there. I don't think any of us ever actually answered the question. Bart, you'd be a Jeopardy guy?
No, I always liked Card Sharks.
Yeah. I'd kill it on The Love Connection.
Card Sharks. I don't even remember. I would go on Studs. Do you guys remember that show growing up?
Was it a card show?
No. It was like the classic dating show.
Oh, that MTV show?
But it was so skeezy. I would probably do – I always like Family Feud. And then I could kind of like rely on how much smarter my family is than me. But I would probably do Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune.
Well, Jeopardy's – you got to be smart,
Wheel of Fortune's my stuff.
You're going to get all those questions on Jeopardy?
Yeah, I'm pretty good at Jeopardy, but Wheel of Fortune I kill on. And Wheel of Fortune, you could be dumb.
Like naming the seas overseas? I mean, some of those questions, I don't know how these guys are coming up with these questions. These guys spend their lives in an encyclopedia?
I'm good at weird stuff like that. It was like when you'd go to Buffalo Wild Wings and you'd get those little tablets, which they don't have anymore, which is a damn shame because my kid liked them. But we'd always play those games, and just the general trivia I actually always kill on. I know a lot of useless information, but yeah, I'd go Wheel of Fortune. Zero skill whatsoever involved in that.
No, I'd go on the Love Connection. You never won anything on Love Connection. I think they paid for the date. That's about it.
Right.
Or I'd go on the Newlywood game and kill it.
Since we're talking game shows, did you see the clip from Family Feud Canada? Did you see the clip where the woman botched the question?
Uh-uh.
No.
This is from Family Feud Canada.
That's it. Whoever guesses this wins the game. Here we go. Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken!
Oh, my God.
Show me chicken!
Spinach, Jerry.
Show me spinach! Wow.
She was thinking the restaurant, and he was thinking the cartoon.
Well, she was thinking protein.
The restaurant just gave her $10,000 worth of gift cards to Popeye's for all eternity.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. I would kill for that.
So just go on a game show and don't win, but promote a product, and they will help you out. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We are going to hear from Matt LaFleur. Little 5 for frames. Which we've promoted like never before.
Not like our boys over Golden Chicken, though.
Golden Chicken.
Lifetime of that.
My boys.
Golden Chicken. Love and some Horvath happy hour. And we'll hear from Mike Clemens coming up next. It's Chuck and Winkler. Commercial free at 9 o'clock and your chance to win $1,000 on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.